om just det du vet, att det du vet, att det du vet, att det du vet, because they could not live here in the West before. And also just the apology that the Jew will not be here. And but we actually that we can continue in the absence. And just in the rest of time, I'll hand over to you.
Chapter 8 of the Constitution, and the Court of Administration of Justice.
parcel of 1798 is 798 of the section were trade. And then the amendment of the founding legislation for such a. Following the action of the Office of the Chief Justice, the following initiatives are engaged for 2013. The transfer of the administration of all superior courts to the OCJ. Establishment of a fully functioning internal controls and accounting systems. Creation of a separate vote for the OCJ and strengthening governance structures of the OCJ. Legislative mandate. The department derives its statutory mandate from various statutes and subordinate legislation. The following are categories of functions emanating from different legislative instruments relevant to the department. 1. Legislation providing for the establishment and functioning of the NPA National Prosecuting Authority, the Special Investigation Unit, and the Asset Forfeiture Unit. The conduct of criminal proceedings, the investigation of organized crime and corruption, and the forfeiture of assets obtained through illicit means, the NPA Act, the Criminal Procedure Act, Prevention of Organized Crime Act, SIU, and Special the Special Tribunals Act, and the Witness Protection Act. Secondly, legislation for the establishment and functioning of bodies responsible for legal aid, law reform, and rulemaking in the various aspects stated in the present proposal. The third mandate is the institution providing for the appointment of masters of the High Courts and the administration of the Department Fund. The fifth estate is common to estates as per the Estates Act. Fourthly, legislation regulating the provisioning of legal advisory services to government departments, such as the State Attorney's Act. Fifthly, legislation relating to the promotion, protection, and enforcement of certain human rights. And the legislation applicable to that is stated in the presentation. Sixthly, legislation pertaining to the protection of vulnerable groups, and several acts are listed under that section. Seventhly, legislation pertaining to debt collectors and sheriffs. Eighthly, legislation providing for the subject of Chapter 9 institutions, such as the Human Rights Commission and the Public Protector. Besides legislative mandates, there are also policy mandates. New policies and related initiatives include the National Development Plan 2013, NDP. Government adopted the NDP with the aim of eliminating poverty and reducing inequality by 2030. The plan sets out a term for new planning priorities of government. The Department of Justice as coordinator of the JDPH cluster has to respond directly to a call made in the plan that people living in South Africa should feel and have no fear of crime by 2030. This can only be achieved through a well-functioning criminal justice system in which the members of the JCPH cluster work together. In this plan, the following are key deliverables for the cluster. A. Strengthening the criminal justice system. All departments in the JCPH cluster will continue with the implementation of recommendations emanating from the review of the South African criminal justice system. A meeting of the JCPH cluster planning units was held in December 2012 to begin a process of aligning the objectives and indicators and to ensure effective monitoring. And in addition, alignment of planning with regards to physical infrastructure and human resources will be undertaken with the JCPH and other relevant departments to coordinate services. will continue in line with available funds. The project to align all major state and municipal entities has been progressing well, with major activities focused on consultation with different communities. The company currently has 268 small claims courts, with an additional 70 places of sitting, and another 7 small claims courts and 3 additional places of sitting will be programmed during May 2030, this year, bringing the total number of the small claims courts to 275, and the number of additional places of sitting to 73. The department intends to have 1 small claims court in each of the 387 major state districts. Extension to remote location has become a challenge due to the unavailability of professionals. A new model is being developed for such locations. The establishment of the 7 above mentioned
about this community for 45 minutes in the appropriation area. Thank you. Thank you.
continue.
In terms of how we actually improved in terms of the performance of the
from the
Thank you.
it whether that is the main fact. And I do not want to deceive to be blamed in public ways, but we are having serious problems with our colleagues from public ways in terms of the processes that they have to go through amongst themselves. For example, in this court, we have a legal argument for the internal competition. Now, there is a dispute between public ways national and public ways regional as to the legality of the legal argument. And you know, we have to go into it as one department and sort this thing out, because it's actually, I don't know that we can take it into the legal argument. So, I don't know what the issue then hopelessly, we might throw off the quarter. You know, but hopelessly, we still be through the quarter. You know, the quarter, that is UK, directly, and so everybody also has the money that comes into the court, reduces fraud and corruption, delays, and so forth. But that is an option that we will be open to the beneficiaries. We are also going to be sensitive to the needs of people with disabilities by looking at the introduction of Braille so that it's not completely people with disabilities. We've also looking into introducing the initial version because we do believe that we can avoid acknowledgement and understand the situation to the argument can be made to talk to each other. Because then we have to wait now for a long period of time where the parties are agreeable, they have a complete order, it is in the order of the court, and then you have the money that ends up being paid out. We also need to have standardized standards, you know, when we go to the court for the maintenance sessions, so that it's actually easier for people to understand what you need when you want to apply for maintenance. What documents do you need to bring? What are the procedures that you need to follow? And some people don't also look at the forms on the court, so this is also the information that we have, but also be able to assist those people that require assistance. Just to continue on maintenance, we hope to be able to continue the new management services in the current financial year. We've appointed the service provider, so we would like to coach, you know, that will do things from service to make some things that we have within the department so that when issues where it is a conversation, we understand the wondering, you know, what we're talking about. We know that we have the people that can actually continue with the methodology and continue to train. So it's a part of the, you know, the experience.
Thank you. And then the areas that I expect that so primarily because what we had expected all our managers to concern themselves with compliance with relevant regulations and legislation in the way we manage our business. We have realized that this is an area we cannot leave to chance. It needs our concerted efforts. So we have established a dedicated unit to look into this area until we have reached a point where we feel we can leave it to the responsible managers. We are busy with just finalizing the structure and recruiting additional people to this unit so that it can be up and running. On the issue of fighting fraud and corruption, we started with, amongst others, having a number of awareness sessions for staff because, you know, corruption has many levels and so on. And we try to manage to make many of our staff members aware of their responsibilities versus the Department of Fire Fraud and Corruption. We have addressed 1,700 officials, including senior managers, supervisors, court managers, and so on. But more needs to be done because our established values, more than 18,000 people, and therefore these awareness sessions are continuing. On fishing, it's a new responsibility to have had. Honourable members would recall that fishing used to be done centrally by NIA at the time of state security now. We have now been given a responsibility to each department to do fishing. I'm happy to report that of the 168 senior managers that we have done the vetting for about 101, which is almost 70% of our managers, and we are focusing attention on the outstanding number. We have now dealt with, out of 18,000 staff, I think we have finalized 3,000 files of our staff, and we are currently meeting with about 5,400. On forensic investigations, we have received 103 cases for investigation and finalized 102 cases for a period 1 April 2012 till 31st of March 2013, which is 77% and above targets. The opening balance for all cases, we have just finalized 100% of all of those. And for this new financial year, we have set a target of 60% for all cases. 60% for new cases and 70% for, no, 60% for old cases and 70% for new cases. And it's a target that I think with the current capacity that we have built, we hope to exceed because this is an area we wanted to seriously focus on given the flow of money in our pocket. The third party fund as well as the Guardian Fund has subjected a department to serious misdemeanors and misconduct simply because of the presence of money in our courts. And that's why it was important that we strengthen this capacity. With regard to information and communications technology, this is a very important area that we're focusing on to facilitate and support our core business. Today, 110 million and 150 million has been allocated to our ICT infrastructure for 2013-14 and 2014-15 respectively. This includes the procurement of laptops, particularly for magistrates, as well as computers for staff. We also, because of our aging infrastructure, we also had to invest on our servers, primarily because the number of our users in the department had increased substantially, and therefore we had to replenish our servers. In our business, we have had a number of business solutions that have been focusing on. On integrated case management systems, we will focus on lower costs as well as the master statistics system. And that those business solutions are currently operational. Where we are a little bit behind was on third-party fund system, but I'm happy to say that significant progress has also been made in that regard. Honourable members would also recall that one of our key challenges in the department has been the issue of court records. Court records have passed over a long period of time, since the beginning of the Union of South Africa. the department then decided that because of lack of space in the courts, we needed to digitize our court records, bring them outside and so on. Some we have to check the extent to which we'll have to comply with legislation. In this regard, we are satisfied that we'll comply with legislation. We tried a pilot, particularly in the Krugersdorp Magistrate Court as well as the Pretoria Magistrate Court. And after running that pilot for a year, it took its value, particularly at the time when the Pretoria Magistrate Court bent down, in a sense that we managed to recover a significant amount of records from that file. And based on those lessons, we then decided to start with the five major courts. The major courts in this regard were the Johannesburg Magistrate Court, the Durban Magistrate Court, the North and South Gauteng High Court, as well as the Western Cape High Court. We are very pleased to report that this program has run very well, particularly in the Western Cape High Court. We think that that's really our model we would like to replicate. And I think what distinguishes the Western Cape High Court from all other courts is primarily that when the files were handed over to the service provider, the staff in that court, the management of that court, was very vigilant on checking the quality of the records that are handed over to the service provider. And the consequence of that is that the digitization process, the quality of the records that have been digitized, are of much better quality than I would imagine any other court in the country. In the four other courts, I think there are still challenges of improvement. But what is exciting about this project is that we have reached a point where all the files that are older than 3 years, now being accessed online. We no longer, our judges and judicial officials, no longer have to look for physical court records. And it has reduced the amount of time that was taken to locate records. And it has even improved our archival records insofar as the records are concerned. Because of budget constraints, we have expanded this project at the moment to the Labour Court as well as the Devon High Court. And I think with the progression of time, we will be able to expand it to all other courts. We are satisfied as evident with the high volume courts. We will be much quicker in replicating this model in the lower courts. I don't want to say much about ICT. I've already mentioned that in terms of renewing our infrastructure, we have to deal with our out-of-warranty servers, particularly not only because of the aging of these servers, but also because of the increased number of users. Storage capacity is a problem, also because of the increased number of users and so on. We also have to upgrade our wide area networks and replace outdated computers as well as laptops. With regard to our human resources, we have done very well in reducing our vacancy rate. Our vacancy rate, as we speak, is around 10%. And there's a concerted effort to fill critical posts in the department. For startups, honorable members would know that in 2010 there was a proclamation signed by the president to create a new department of the Office of the Chief Justice, in line with the insistence by the judiciary that they would like to be independent of the department. So that department has been created, and in line with that, on the 1st of April, a new Secretary General, Office of the Chief Justice, has been appointed. The reason is no more. Actually, it must be Director General, but when it was created, I think the terminology that was used at the time was Secretary General. And I know the Office of the Chief Justice is in the process of changing this. Chief Director of Human Rights, Chief Director of Communications, and the Chief of Staff in the Ministry have been appointed. Processes are underway to fill the post of CFO as well as Deputy Director General for Corporate Services as well as Deputy Director General for Constitutional Development. Given the budget cuts that I think the CFO would have reported on, we have decided to maintain our vacancy rate at 11% as compared to 10%. Simply because maintaining at 10% has created a number of challenges regarding accommodation, regarding computers and so on and so forth. And the CFO would have informed you about the serious constraints we are experiencing, particularly on our goods and services budget. With regard to misconduct, at the end of February, 291 misconduct cases were finalized, 171 were not yet finalized. And this represented 64% achievement of our target, which was 75%. We are not particularly happy with this because we think that we have underperformed and a lot has been done to make sure that we perform a lot better. Because this misconduct, to a great extent, is driven again by the availability of money in our courts, and it has led to a lot of mischief. The same would apply to grievances. We only finalize 46% of our cases. And lastly, these grievances are driven by performance assessments, because we are just worried that there's always a problem, a relationship problem between supervisors and subordinates when it comes to performance assessments. The consequence of which is that because of our concern, we have now decided to train, because we are relying mostly on investigating officers and presiding officers from outside the department, we have decided to increase the pool of people skilled in presiding over cases and investigating cases. Today, we have now trained about 40 people. On training, through our Justice College, at the end of December, we have trained 3,800 people against a target of 6,500. And we are also busy with efforts to reposition our Justice College. Honourable members would remember that there was a time historically when our Justice College used to train judges and magistrates, but the judiciary requested that a new institution be created specifically meant to train judges and magistrates, the South African Judicial Education Institution, which is currently located in the office of the Chief Justice. And as of the end of December 2012, a total of 1,998 judicial officers were trained by the SAJ. There's a lot of work that has been done on the modernization of the criminal justice system. And the essence of this modernization is that we are trying to integrate the IT systems of all departments that are in the JCCS cluster, principally the South African Police, the Department of Justice, as well as Correctional Services, as well as the courts. This is to ensure a seamless flow of information, because oftentimes in the courts, when we look for details of prisoners and so on, the arrest, we find that there is no corresponding information in police stations and so on. And that has created some hassles, and that's why this program has become very important. A number of pilots have been concluded. There's just been an upgrade of the FAPS criminal administration system and the department's own integrated case system, case management system. And these pilots were conducted in Benoni and the Cullinan Court districts. There was also piloting of the NPA's electronic case management system, which allows prosecutors to prepare charge sheets online with improved accuracy, and which will then be integrated to the IT systems of the departments that I have mentioned, namely staff, justice, as well as correctional services. With regard to digital amendments, there's a program that the department has embarked upon, and our primary reason for embarking upon this project was to minimize prisoner escapes, because there were a lot of escapes with taking prisoners to court for bail and so on and so forth. We are happy to report that to date the VURM solution is working very well, and currently 47 magistrate courts have now been linked to 22 Lawrence Bassett.
and a trafficking person as well. There were four others that were approved. The Judicial Matters Amendment Bill dealing, honourable members will most probably recall, dealing with the funding arrangements for the Special Investigating Units, among others. The Sheriff's Amendment Bill, a Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill that was dealing with use of force during arrests, and then that very urgent bill that addressed the High Court decision in that sexual offences legislation, which was at very short notice and very speedily to address the negative implications that could have arisen. The National Assembly has approved two further bills. One is a protection of personal information. I know that is before this committee at the moment. And this committee has already started engaging on it. There's a third criminal procedure amendment bill that's been approved by the National Assembly. That bill, we haven't engaged this committee on it yet. I think we still are to come and do a briefing on the bill. It deals with criminal appeals from the High Courts to the Supreme Court of Appeal. That's just a quick overview of what we achieved last year in terms of bills that were have got to an advanced stage in the parliamentary process. Some of the legislative highlights during last year, we introduced three very important bills into Parliament. The Legal Practice Bill, that's been long in the making. It is now before Parliament. We're engaging with the Portfolio Committee on that bill. A briefing with the Department's given a briefing on the bill. Public hearings have been held. The Department has given some responses to the issues that were raised at those very comprehensive public hearings. So that's where we are with the Legal Practice Bill. The Anti-Torture Bill, that was also introduced into Parliament, and I think that has also been finalised by the National Assembly. And then very recently, the Human Rights Commission Bill was introduced, and we are awaiting to be called. The Department has already briefed the Portfolio Committee on that bill. That bill is intended to revise in its entirety the current Human Rights Commission Act of 1994, which is out of sync with the new Constitution and a whole lot of other realities and circumstances that need to be updated. Chair, a while ago, you might recall having dealt with the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Act that deals with fingerprints. Well, no, that was a bill that was actually dealt with by the Portfolio Committee on Police, but I think it was dealt with by this committee. That bill has now been put into operation. It's largely the operationalization of that bill is the responsibility of SAPS. And here I think there is a lot of anticipation and a lot of positive reaction about the implementation of the Protection from Harassment Bill. It was also dealt with by this committee. It's been put into operation on 27th of April, Freedom Day. Presence has already been dated, so it will come into operation on Saturday, in fact. Three important sets of subordinate legislation emanating from the Judicial Service Commission were finalised. When the Judicial Service Commission Act were finalised, those are regulations under Section 23, rules under Section 25 in the Code of Judicial Conduct. These are significant achievements. And perhaps I should just say, more or less in conclusion, Chair, that not all of our targets, I think we've got to be upfront, not all of our legislative targets were met. But I think I would like to think that we've made quite considerable progress in what we have done in some of the significant pieces of legislation that we have dealt with. Then for the year ahead, we've got 9 bills in the making, 6 rules that are going to be dealt with by the Rules Board. Those are quite technical in nature, and 7 research papers which are going to be dealt with by the South African Law Commission. Maybe I can just give the committee a bit of further detail on the bills that are probably going to come your way. There's a Judicial Matters Amendment Bill that has been introduced into Parliament yesterday. It's quite a substantial bill. I think there are 49 clauses dealing with various issues relating to the administration of justice. I would like to think that they're technical in nature. I don't think they're going to be very contentious, just to address practicalities, problems that have been identified in practice. bill that I think would be welcomed is a maintenance amendment bill that we're going to hopefully bring towards the second half of the year, that's addressing also practicality and challenges that have been identified in practice. I think individually the amendments might not look that significant, but collectively I think it's going to have a positive spin-off on the maintenance system. There is an attorney's amendment bill that we also have. Honourable members will most probably say, why have we got an attorney's amendment bill when we've got a legal practice bill in Parliament already? This has still got to be submitted to Cabinet, and Cabinet must still decide on the issue. The Department is coming with this bill because of challenges that are also being experienced in practice, and court judgments. The Supreme Court of Appeal has said we cannot continue with the challenges that we are experiencing now, the anomalies, because you've still got some of your homeland legislation regulating attorney's profession in place, and the former RSA legislation in place. It's a fragmented legislative framework, and it gives rise to anomalies, big differences in different parts of the country, and there were challenges in some disciplinary aspects, particularly as far as the Law Society of the Northern Provinces is concerned. I won't go into too much detail about it, but this is intended to be an interim measure. As I say, the courts have already said, the Supreme Court of Appeal has suggested that we give attention to this challenge, because it's to the detriment of not only the legal profession but also clients of attorneys. As I said, that will be going to Cabinet very shortly, and it might appear in Parliament in the near future. I've spoken about the South African Human Rights Commission Bill. Then we also have a determination of remuneration of members of Chapter 9 Institutions Bill. This bill is intended to create a uniform procedure for the determination of remuneration and service benefits of Chapter 9 institutions. The various statutes regulating these Chapter 9 institutions all have different functionaries playing a role in determining remuneration and different procedures that are followed. And the intention with this bill is to bring about consistency and harmony in that process. I've mentioned the Legal Aid Bill, mentioned the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill. We have a Debt Collectors Amendment Bill that's going to be coming your way as well. That is really at the request of some technical amendments that have been requested by the Council for Debt Collectors to improve the application of that legislation. So that will also be coming. I think we will only be ready with this bill, it's a Magistrates Courts Amendment Bill, and we are really only in the beginning stages of that bill and still doing consultation with, among others, National Treasury and DTI. The purpose of this bill, I think honourable members will most probably have seen in the media about the abuses in granting of garnishee orders and emoluments attachment orders. This bill is there to try and address those abuses and to come to the assistance of the people who are affected badly by that. And then we also have a hate speech bill, that's what we call it at the moment, but it's got a longer title. That's also at the beginning stages, to try and address this kind of conduct, to criminalize hate speech and related intolerance, xenophobia, among others. The department is in the process of finalizing a policy framework, and that policy framework will inform the contents of this important piece of legislation, but I do think there is still quite a bit of engagement necessary. It's a sensitive and complex piece of legislation, and the department is in the process of talking about that about that policy framework with relevant role players. I know there have been workshops on that, and I think those were driven by the Chief Director of Constitutional Development. I'm trying to, in a very broad sense,
office, but we've also introduced a brand new way of doing business through the paperless estate administration system there. Therefore, there will never be a situation where there's a record missing in health rate because all documents are scanned. The process is done electronically from one person to the other, and as soon as the project has been fully developed or the solution has been fully developed, people will be able to see electronically how far the business has gone. We are very happy to say that we've also commenced the implementation in the major offices of Durban, Johannesburg and Pretoria, where close to 70% of our seized estates are done, and we are cutting away through our dealing challenges on that system. Just give our slides an opportunity to catch up with us. Jefferson, I've mentioned the paragraph 3 bullet to say that once we have the major offices of Pretoria, Johannesburg and Durban fully functional, to also take during the next financial year the system to all other offices. Why this system is quite important? It will enable the masters to approve work that is currently being done at a service point level. To remember with the Mosaniki and Bay decision, the work that was previously done by magistrates were handed over to court staff to attend to, and we limited the jurisdiction of court staff to 50,000 where they could take the assistance. With this system, information is captured at the service point and it comes back to a back office where an assistant master or trained legal person will assess the information and then authorize the transaction in the deceased estate. We are really going to be increasing our standard of service delivery significantly, and we are keenly developing the out of this program. Lastly, Chairperson, amongst the masters, the electronic transfer in the Guardian Fund currently stands at 92% of our beneficiaries are paid electronically. I wonder whether members can remember all the challenges that we had regarding to fraud and corruption within the Guardian Fund, and especially those frauds that have happened once a check has been issued. Now, that has been confirmed. Thank you to the close cooperation with other branches like the CFO and our court services branch in achieving this, ISM branch in achieving this outcome. While we're talking about the Guardian's Fund, again, one of the funds that used to be of a major concern, all indications are that this will be our roundabout 5th year of no audit qualification and having for an team audit, an area where we really wanted to be of great efficiency to our people. Jefferson, you would have found a handout that was given by the Secretariat on the availability of Guardian's Fund services now in 29 places. That's a major achievement. Before, there was only 6 Guardian's Funds where people could go for assistance. We have now enabled 29 places where a person can go, submit your form, have your fingerprints taken, yourself identified, and the next thing that will happen to you is your electronic fund transfer will be reflected in your the CFO to make more funds available to increase the service. As I say, first with a lot of control mechanisms and checks and balances, so as to not compromise us on our regularity of those payments. Thank you.
The last presentation in our slides. Just in conclusion, we just want to state to the committee that our department will keep putting emphasis on improving the quality of our people, not only in terms of training, but also making sure that critical vacancies are filled, that we attend to particularly areas of slow progress like grievances and misconduct, that we will continue to invest in information and communication technology, not only to enhance the business of the department and improve service delivery, but just to ensure that we also deal with the challenges that are facing us, particularly the challenge of aging infrastructure. We'll also put emphasis on improving financial management and accountability. Our minister, deputy minister, as well as our director general, they are more than 100% committed, if I may say so, in ensuring that very soon our department would have an audit qualification. We will keep focusing our efforts on initiatives to support human rights, and in particularly with regard to the preponderance of sexual offences in our community, the promotion of rights of vulnerable groups, together with civil society partners. We continue to prioritize master services and maintenance services, particularly given the implications of these two areas of services delivery with regard to poverty alleviation. And we also continue to harness and build solid relationships with partners from the public service, civil society, the judiciary, prosecution, donors, as well as parliament. Thank you very much. We are ready to take your questions.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. You can engage with the presentation.
The presenter from the, I mean for the opportunity to have the good service mentioned he is correct in relation to the debt by funds. I think it's almost 5 years same issue. Trying to put systems in place, getting personnel in place, hence the Auditor General has been managing that issue as well. So I think it's a matter of concern, shared observation. Secondly, the issue of transformation, I may have missed it in the overall presentation and commitments from the department, but he mentioned vulnerable protection and promotion of rights for vulnerable groups. The department is focusing on, there's many sectors in the vulnerable groups. I would be failing my constituents as well to not to mention that. I don't think it is in relation to the disability component of the vulnerable groups. Airlines, your 2% equity for employment, or even services of human rights. I would put that assertion as a record. I mean, they're not, I think, vulnerable groups, and there's a lot of our relations, Chair, that are happening, the mental health sector, the deaf sector, who can't communicate, blind sector, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done, including developing jurisprudence for actually sharing as well. The third area, Chair, that is question that I do need comment feedback as the would have a chance to respond, Chair. The program, I'm still on the program, too, Chair. The other thing is the emphasis from the department is that they will now maintain vacancies I'm trying to reconcile that part, to maintain the vacancies at 11% from 10%. I wasn't quite clear. They mentioned the rationale and reasons to do so, but I'm not sure. I'm trying to reconcile that with the call for decent work. Of course, it's against the backdrop of the reduction in the budget, and that raises a whole host of issues, Chair. We are pulling bills on this side that would increase need for personnel and services. For instance, the sheriff's bill is part of what it's doing is to create some state sheriffs. I'm not sure it's just this other clarity on the CFO. This matter hasn't been concluded. I thought it was concluded. As promised previously, the performance plan that was submitted or presented to the committee, that matter was taken care of. I didn't hear that, but I think it was mentioning that it's one of the things that is one of the areas that is not concluded. If it's so, then it's surprising. Now, the other issue, Chair, that my friend and colleague who was not with us, Chair, in the program too, always raises his court. He calls it Mkuku Court in Mali. They've been mentioning to Zuma and the other one. They thought that one is not taken care of. Honorable Matthew has always asked this question. I'm sure he would have raised it if he still has concerns. So perhaps let's see now if the past has dealt with that properly. Now, the other message, Chair, that I would like to raise relates to the message that the Ops fund is with Home Affairs, and now, Chair, they know we've been engaging with the department, and the issue of the adjustments for the magistrates has been an issue. They would know not too much the work that the IRC does, but the presentation in response to what the ministers were doing, or we were raising the concerns that the magistrates were raising, the department came and responded in terms of what they were doing bringing the magistrates too far in terms of the concerns relating to that. Now, another one to raise is the issue of what the COO has raised, an issue about the operationalization of the OCG, and in terms of the SG, so we would like to be taken into understanding chair in terms of the accounting arrangement, because I think they mentioned that they are is now a creation of a new vault. So what are the arrangements in terms of accounting and that part? The other area too that one would raise is the area around the targets from the master's presentation. The targets is mentioning 2029, I think. Yeah, as you said, some would be in the next financial year and all of that. So you see, Chair, the issue there, we need the system, the electronic systems and all, but the issue still remains the submission of application and access to rural areas. I can still say confidently that Ramsdown Court Master's Office still has problems in Eastern Cape. So one would have liked to know if that is still taken care of. We're still carrying cases from that court in terms of and people are blacklisted because of this electronic system. People thinking that payments were made to schools for education from the states, that submissions of payments were made, and yet the communication, so the service is not qualitative. If you take what the CEO has presented, there's no quality, so to speak. Because yes, the electronic system, but then people don't follow up. The people in the court, in the master's office, in terms of informing those people if there's been problems in terms of payments to these same people are blacklisted, and it becomes an issue to take people off from the blacklisting and to go and access those claims again and get the payments done. So I think that's a matter that it should be part of the APP. The presenter for the program two again mentioned a review, and I would like it clarity, mentioned a review on that tomorrow and Friday, that they are reviewing their strategy. So how would that impact on what we have given as a 5-year strategy for till 2018? What are they the strategy that they are reviewing on Thursday and Friday? How would it impact what has been given to us now as the departmental strat plan for the 2013-2018? So I think we'd like to hear. There is an issue there on the, I'm not sure if they are confirming that the 116 courts, small claims court, would be implemented within this financial year, or they are just mentioning that they will do their best to make sure. But they are raising an issue on now present they said the ultimate proposal or thought that they have is that they would go back into what was raised by one of them in terms of the, what they don't like in the department to be changing in Brazil. So, you know, we are told, we hear that there's a lot of people that are not lawyers, not working, graduates and all of this. So one would be interested to know how much are they going to be, I know they look at experience and all proper and fit persons and all of that, qualifications and all of that, but obviously if you have a backlog and you want to achieve something, you need to have a plan and a program for that. Where will that expose people to prepare people to come to us. Otherwise, this college chair, he mentioned the numbers I mentioned, 3,000 something against the target of 6,000, so one would like to know why, what are the issues, why are we not getting closer to that level. That also goes for the what was the target for the SAJE, because they did 1,000 something figures that were blended or were mentioned. I guess what target J1 would like to ask. There was also an issue raised around the motor vehicles and in courts. I think, and one would like to understand, so in terms of, this is an important question, in terms of do they supply cars or the payment of allowances, or why is this basic, as I said, it's I'm really asking from a point of ignorance in terms of what are these motor vehicles, what is it? The fleet for just if one could be taken into an understanding. And there is an issue of the state attendance, I think it might be a question of also ignorance as to state losses. Are departments operating on their own, or is this department also responsible in terms of the mandate of the state law advisors and that? It's looking at transformation there, looking at allocation of funds for them to operate. There was a bit of a confusing explanation given as well, Chair, in relation to joining 602 million. Maybe now the team is now more than six or other members of the team, so they will explain better. The 602 million that was taken, another 500 given, and some. So it wasn't quite clear what was the point that was made to nature in terms of the figures taken and the figures, and then others coming into court to help, coming on board to help if Mr. Johnson would try and clarify much better in as far as that is concerned. The last one is just to stop, is the issue of the gender. There's issues in the image of the transformation part. That's why I was raising, I'm just coming back to that, from the transformation part. There's the issue about, okay, the statistics are saying in terms of the qualifications, women are almost about 50% now in terms of qualifications in the legal fraternity, attendees and all. is an issue of transformation. So I hope that program, I know in the past I used to raise these questions as well on gender equity. This issue is going, it's ongoing. I understand appointments to the bench, but I'm just talking about general transformation in terms of allowing women or getting women to participate into this field, educational field. The last one here relates to the allocations to the public entities, the Human Rights Commission, and this
can respond to your question that has been posed.
Yeah, we would share questions as a team, all of us. I'm sure that the colleagues have noted all the questions. I will try and deal with those that that I can deal with. Just on the issue of transformation, I just want to concede that with regard to disabled people in particular, we haven't met the target on 2%. We at the moment 1.3%. We are in contact with organizations of disabled people and exploit their database to assist us. And I think we will be able to report in the next meeting on where we are, because we agree that we need to increase the pool of disabled people in the department. The problem is on vacancies is that there have been budget cuts in the department. I think in the last 3 years we said that our budget cut was for the total of 2 billion of the budget. Now there has been an additional budget cut of 610 million, if I remember. And this, there's also something called the occupation-specific differentiation that has really eaten on our ability to hire more people, including the fact that the Department of Public Services Administration has just issued a directive that we need to upgrade the levels of all people on level 4, level 3 and 4 at the youth cost. And I'm sure the CEO can confirm later. If you look at the issue of our budget, the relationship between our compensation of employees, which is essentially our personal cost, as well as goods and services. I know that you were saying 78% of it. I don't know if you can become more. So you will see that our salary bill has been rising. It has been increasing in fact astronomically. The consequence of that is that we have reached a point where every time we have to hire a person, we need to provide new office space. And it is not only new office space that we have to provide. We have to provide them with the necessary infrastructure, telephones, computers, and so on and so forth. And that has been substantial on our ability to employ more people. And this is primarily because, I don't think we are also trying to complain. The CEO has reported that we have tried our best to remain within our budget because we understand that government as a whole is seriously constrained because of issues related to economic growth, issues related to us not meeting our targets or revenue, particularly the revenue that comes from them. So we find that it has become too difficult for us to stick to 10%. The issue of the CFO, I concede that it's a matter of concern. I think we have advertised one or five. And at the point of appointment, we were always left disappointed because people would then be attracted to other offers. But I think it will report that on the 2nd of May, there will now be another round of interviews for the CFO. We hope that the next time we come, we'll have a permanently appointed CEO. My report, I think Mr. Malema will provide more details to this. I know that the Department of Public Works is supposed to finalize a tender process. In this regard, we have money for it. We will pay it because I also have interest in it, because I indicated that insofar as community rehabilitation is concerned, recommendations of the TRC, I'm also doing some work in Mangalore, and this issue has also been raised with me, because it's of concern. It's particularly of concern because some 3 years ago, the then Minister of Justice, not Andrea, Mr. Basuti, ego and that sort. And we've been having challenges, but I'm happy that it's a question of just analyzing the procurement issues. Just on the operationalization of the Office of the Chief Justice. At the moment, the Director General of the Department of Justice is the accounting officer of both the DOJ code and OCJ, because Office of the Chief Justice is paid for within our vote. I know for a fact that in the last week, the new budget program structure has been approved by the Treasury, and that creates a foundation for a new budget code to be created. And as soon as that process has been finalized, the newly appointed Secretary General in the Office of the Chief Justice will then assume responsibility as the accounting officer of that department. She will then have to come to Parliament, like all of us, table a strategic plan, motivate budget allocations and so on. We think that that process should be concluded before the end of the year. That's my take. But in the interim, I think there will be transitional arrangements between us in which she'll have to report or assist our Director General to account for the funds allocated to the office of the Chief Justice. I know that the Justice College level has probably the latest step of the Justice College as well as IJ, so she will then inform the committee about that. Just as a question of state attorney, I think most departments of their own legal advice on this matter. Of course, we try to guide them as much as possible through our various state and attorney services. But we're in the process of tightening this process. We are just working on appointing or creating the position of what we'll call a solicitor general, who will then guide the litigation strategy of government in general. And we hope that it's at level 16 post at DG 11. And we hope that this person will assist us to guide how government deals with litigation issues, including aligning how various departments provide legal services in defense of the department. I think that's where I would like to. That's where. Just on the question relating to public works, on the issue of public works not finishing on time and so on, and what are we doing? There are 2 points. One, the newly appointed director in the Department of Justice, I think it's hardly 6 months in the post public works, in the Department of Public Works. And we hope that the new issue of public works would really bring the difference that we desire. Everybody from the minister or director general, myself, DGG for services, facilities, COO, we are working to get public works and raise our concerns. The result of which is that we have now resorted in certain instances to using the Independent Development Trust, the IDT, to assist us with building some of our costs. And I think in many instances it has worked very well. Seems to be a solution because the project management capacity of the IDT is much better than of the main department. Even though the law has enabled public works to be the custodian of all our accommodation and government, using IDT does not necessarily contradict that law because IDT is the agency of public works. So far we work well with it. So I think my colleagues would have to see that.
Thank you, Chairperson.
different spaces. We work at legal report and justice and together we work community negotiate. But because there are positive institutions that negotiate directly with National Treasury, it's created this environment. I don't understand the rationale, but maybe based on the quality of the submissions in the business space, business cases, for example, they make the mineral cases. But so you work from an on the the one is 9% in human rights, the other one is on average 8% in its use, remain inconsistent. In relation to some additional information related to the creation of this new department, we as justice need to assess the state of transition. The new department doesn't have systems, it doesn't have operating frameworks. Possibly devastating figures of 1.3 billion in budget allocation. We need to Friday to the newly appointed accounting officer. So let's go through the process. We are currently vote 24. Now, 2025, that we get a new vote 25 for the new financial year. Now, the whole question is, do we do it now?
think I already did with some of the questions raised on program 2. I'll start with the first one on the focus, or lack of focus, rather, on people with disabilities within vulnerable groups. I would consider that we have not paid attention to that group, and we'll give the House assurance that we will talk to them more, and our programs will reflect their interests more within vulnerable groups. The second issue on marketing, I think the CEO has given a part answer. The report we have is that September was advertised in September 2012, and PCWs is busy with adjudicating the tender, and hopefully the preferred bidder will be appointed in May. And please keep in mind this is a moving target, so it does change. But you know, we are conscious that you know, we actually start building the court. The third area that was asked is on the stress regime. Perhaps my choice of words were unfortunate. What we will be doing tomorrow, we will be meeting every branch. What we presented today here is based on the annual performance plan of the department and out of date. The various branches within the department might then develop what are correctly called operational plans. So that's what we'll be doing in the next 2 days. If you look at the PGP, it's very high level. It does not cover the work of all the various things that are being done within the branch. So it's really, and you know, the level at which we're trying to expand onto the ABG of the department within the branches. So all the branches are actually expected to go through that process. And then we will end up with a mission as well. You know, we will fill that down. So it's really part of the different levels of planning, you know, at which we are engaging with the document. But all the work will be aligned to the ABG. You know, the pattern that will be in coordination to the APP is taking moments in other areas that are not being, you know, taken care of within the HP. With regards to the conference course, Jefferson, our intention is to really continue to push for all different courses to have more conference course. In fact, we're pretty sure that the Deputy Minister has really taken the project to heart. And she is championing the project, and that's why you literally seen the structure of the small claims court being raised. You know, it's forever talking about it. There's been launches of new courts last week in Soweto. There's been acknowledgments of the work that has been done by commissioners. So, you know, really there's a lot of work that is going into that area. But unfortunately, to look at these called small claims, you do need people who are qualified, who are experienced, because they make decisions, you know. So we would be cautious not to put in anybody. I'm not a lawyer myself, but I can tell you that we all know it's a complicated subject. Even the lawyers themselves find it very complicated. So we would really want to. We are willing to look at possibilities on what we can do to expand, you know, the network so that we can bring in more people, but we do need to ensure that the integrity of the system, even if we bring in other people, remains intact. Otherwise, we will bring the courts, the administration of those courts into doubt, you know, from the side of the public. Jefferson, we are looking as well, at least within court services, you know, from the start of the class that we think it would be desirable to start bringing in clerks that are having parallel qualifications, so that
perhaps the House could also assist us by engaging public works.
To
public works corporate maintenance. Now we think to within the past we need to come back and do certain upgrades and change the body. Those things are not happening. Now one of the options is maybe to change them in the current arrangement and release that money back to the department. This is one option. So we can take accountability for the maintenance of our bodies. The second maybe option is and do that, some of the things they are clear to us. But rather than all of them, what the other things are one, then the other things, what is medical people's intention, and what is the end of this committee? We are going to do this issue. So it says, we want to make a change to medical people's intention judges. So then, what is the from there? Government to be fully subsidized in the study. So it is not a big intention from the apparatus. So if government gives you a similar amount and go and see for the next time. So we don't do this, no way to put it together. We want to look at and make a case about that decision. We want to put it together and don't want to pay a certain percent of what I think must be done for pension. We want to continue that. Then, what I have to do, I get it.
Thank you.
let me take the opportunity to thank the department for their presentation. I think it will help us and prepare us for the coming debate. And I hope that if there are other issues that we may want to raise, we will indicate to you. And in the event that we don't call you here, we may just respond in writing. Thank you very much, Dr. Levy.
Thank you very much for inviting us as a department. I think our engagement with you has really enriched us as a department. As my colleague, Advocate Basso, was saying, you have given us a bit of homework to do, and if you need anything further from us as a department, please call. Thank you.
Thank you very much.